Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Joining me today to talk about touch and gesture computing is Joseph Fletcher. He's from the Surface team, where I'm assuming touch and gesture is fairly important.
Yes, yes. That's most of what we do over there right now. So,
now, as kind of an aside, did anybody ever think about maybe having a mouse and keyboard attached to a Surface machine?
There's lots of thought about it, obviously, especially when you get into virtual keyboards, and because obviously on Surface you have to have text input at points, and so virtual keyboards, as a standard rule, always have problems with them. There's no haptic feedback. Oftentimes there's no audio to go with them to give you that sound and that feedback. So there has been lots of discussion about having these things attached to them, but in general, where the Surface team as a whole isn't a fan of it because we don't want, you know, external devices hanging off Surface and just sort of sitting around there. So it's definitely a tough challenge that I don't think we found a good solution to yet, but we're working on it.
Now, you know, these days, you know, we're hearing an awful lot about, you know, touch computing come about, whether it's, you know, the HP Touch Smart, which has touch sensitive panel, whether it's, you know, the Apple iPhone and their multi-touch and all those other things. And so that's the big buzzword. I'm assuming then that the move is towards having touch being the way of interfacing with computers and stuff. Now, does that mean getting away with the mouse?
Well, I think it depends oftentimes on form factor, and I don't think right now, I don't think we'll be moving away from the mouse on personal computers, but you mentioned the iPhone, and then you mentioned the HP Touch Smart, and then on the higher end, you have Surface, and then when you go even higher, you have the CNN touch walls and stuff like that. And it really depends on the device and what you need to do with it. So on an iPhone, you know, touch may be a great method of the only way of input. On a personal computer, that may not be the case at all, because touch is good for certain things, but not good for everything. Right? If you're working in Excel, touch probably isn't the best thing. If you're working in Word, touch probably isn't the best thing. People love touch and paint. Right? So I don't think the mouse will be going away anytime soon. I don't think the PC will, or I'm sorry, the keyboard will be going away anytime soon on the personal computer. But on different devices, it really depends. The way I tend to think of it is that touch is one part of an input ecosystem that designers or engineers have to work with. And so, you know, other parts, obviously the mouse and keyboard is mentioned, there's voice. And then even within touch, you have different methods of input. You have single point touch, you know, airport kiosks, bank ATMs. You have multi-touch, like the iPhone. And then you have sort of a layer on top of multi-touch, which where you can actually start to work with gestures. So there's more than 2 points of touch. So I can have, you know, a four-finger gesture or, you know, use 2 fingers to do something versus just simply 2 points of touch. And then building on that, you can even do things like infer where people are based on their touch. So based on my touch here, the system knows I'm here. And if you touch this direction towards you, the system would know you're there.
So we can tell the difference between you touching that direction, me touching this direction?
It depends on the technology. So on Surface, there are ways, because it's a vision system, that it can allow, the system can recognize that, am I touching this direction or am I touching this direction?
Oh, because it can see the kind of the hand shadow behind it.
Yep.
I didn't even thought about that. Now, you mentioned gestures, a bit like a four-finger gesture and stuff like that. How does that come into play, and exactly how do gestures get designed?
So starting off with the most basic gestures that most people who use touch devices know, you know, the swipe left and right, the zoom in, zoom out with your fingers, those types of things. You know, how we look at designing them is we take what people would do naturally for physical content. So obviously direct manipulation, moving things around. The zoom in, zoom out aspects, things like that, is what we tend to call hyperreal. So they're things that you take what would be physical objects, and then by putting them in a digital environment, what can you do to enhance the quality of those? And so for us, it's figuring out what do people naturally do in their real lives that we can take advantage of, and that's how we create those gestures. So another great example may be, you know, you, in order to discard something, you may crumple it up, right? Is there an ability to do that on a touch screen?
I see. When I think of gestures, I think of more of, you know, the mobile phone typing type gestures where you're making the shape of a J, and what you're talking about is what I would think of more as like manipulation. There's something on the screen and you just simply manipulate it like you would in normal life in real world, rather than doing a like that for carriage return or like that for a backspace or whatever it is.
Yeah. I tend to think that's just a little bit of semantics, but yeah, it's you know, that's what we're calling gestures right now, just sort of motion with your hand or doing different natural or what we'd call intuitive.
So anything that's a motion in your hand aside from just a touch would be a gesture.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now, when you're thinking about doing gesture computing, are you thinking primarily of the surface type table, since you're from the surface team? Is that where most of your energy is going?
So me personally, it depends who you are on the team and what you're working on. I think a lot about surface, but then I also think a lot about the personal computer dealing with Windows 7. So part of my job is also to work with the Windows 7 team and to think about how touch can work on personal computers. So I think I'm in a unique position being on the surface team, because it's not just, I don't solely think about large form factors, you know, sort of low DPI multi-user, but I also get to take that and then move over and say, well, what happens when a single user uses a computer? What happens when that touchscreen is only 12 inches, you know, not 30 inches? So for me, it's great to have that spectrum to be able to think about how touch really impacts people.
Mm-hmm. But now, like, a big difference there is that with a Surface, since that's a hardware that you actually own and control and say, this machine always is going to have touch available to it, mm-hmm. with something like Windows 7, you don't really know that touch is always going to be there. And so it's kind of like, if the user happens to have a HP Touch Smart or whatever,
Correct. Then
he's got touch. Whereas then if you build that into the operating system, people that don't have touch capabilities, they're missing out on some of those features. How does that come into some of your planning?
So that's a good question. It's obvious that people who buy Windows 7, not everyone will have touch as a blanket statement, right? But that's part of when you go to buy a computer, that you have this sort of extra piece that now you can interact with it in a different way. But the way we've looked at it is thinking about how to really take advantage of the people who have touch, right? I mean, obviously, we're not creating anything that degrades the experience for people who don't have touch, but for people who do have touch, we're thinking, how can we really take advantage of it in a better way for them?
So it's kind of like, you know, in the early days of Windows, we didn't assume that everyone had a mouse, and therefore mm-hmm. everything you could do with a mouse,
it's
could do
keyboard.
With a keyboard in
yep.
some fashion. And that's kind of one way to get through it. So you're having like either keyboard mechanisms or some other mechanism you get to those sort of thing, or touch is just
the icing
on the cake
yes.
sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, for what we're thinking about, yes. As I mentioned, we don't degrade the experience, but touch is just now another method of input that you have at your disposal.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see a time in the future where most computers will have touch-capable displays?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, right now touch is fairly limited, but you have major players. You know, Dell announced some time ago that they have now touch in their computers, HP with the Touch Smart, right? So I see many, many more hardware companies building and creating touch machines. The difficulty that I've seen with this is that they're not all building on the same technology and not all building mm-hmm. with the same style of touch input. The best example being that Dell, with their touch machines that they have out now, are capacitive touch, and HP is infrared cameras.
And how does that differ from what actually happens from the user's perspective?
Sure. So capacitive touch is all based on electronic signal that you basically send when you touch it. The infrared basically is like a blanket of infrared, and you break the blanket basically, and the computer says, oh, you broke it at this point. Now, the great thing about capacitive is that when I touch, you know, two points, the computer exactly knows where I'm touching. Now, with an infrared, because you have this blanket, when you start moving around, that can fall apart a little bit, and the computer can say, okay, wait a second, are you touching here or here? And because that infrared blanket lives a little bit raised from the screen, that if I, for example, have my finger like this, if my knuckle breaks that blanket but doesn't touch the screen, now all of a sudden the computer registers this as another touch. Mm-hmm. So from a user point of view, it could just look like things aren't quite working properly, or why did something I did on this computer work a little bit different on this computer? So, you know, with a mouse, anywhere you go, whatever mouse you have, regardless of the form factor, it always shows up the same way on the screen, same mm-hmm. with the keyboard. But with touch, there are challenges because that doesn't quite happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, are the choices from hardware manufacturers simply a price choice, or is there also form factor choices?
There's both. There's obviously different prices depending on what you're buying, and there's different form factors. So, again, the two computers I just mentioned, the Dell, the one that I'm talking about right now is the Dell XT, is a standard laptop that you can put into slate mode as well. So And for people who don't know, slate mode is where you go totally flat with it, so you just have the screen showing and you can...
It's like a tablet PC.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. And then standard laptop mode, just where you flip your screen up. Mm-hmm. And the HP Touch Smart is simply a computer with a mouse and keyboard that stands like any sort of monitor. Mm-hmm. So the way you would interact with both of those are very different, right? With a laptop, I have to think about, okay, I have my keyboard and my screen right next to each other. And some of the issues that we've run into is when you start tapping on a laptop screen, the screen shakes, it wobbles, right? Especially with the, because it goes into a tablet format, there's a small hinge on it, so it wobbles a lot if you touch it, right? The HP Touch Smart doesn't do that, right? There are other considerations. When I go into tablet mode, oftentimes people will hold their computer like this, especially if they're using stylus. So now, have I created any gestures that require both hands that I can no longer do because I only want to have one hand available to me? Mm-hmm. So there's a plethora of challenges out there, depending on form factor, depending on technology, that are all over the place. One of the great things with working with Surface is you don't have that yet. Is Surface is a great piece of hardware that's been commoditized that we can control in a lot of ways.
You know exactly what that form factor
is. Yes, regardless of where it is. We know, this is how touch works, this is how our technology works, and we can build applications that take advantage of that system on a broad level. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to think about, okay, what are going to happen on all these other systems. So in that way, that controlled environment is actually really good, especially when we're getting people more acclimated to touch. Mm-hmm.
So now when you think about application development, since Windows 7 is going to be including touch capabilities directly mm-hmm. in the system, more application vendors are need to consider, what do I do for touch? Now, some of it comes for free because you're just imitating some of the mouse stuff. But if you really want to take advantage of touch capabilities in an application, how does an application developer think about that differently than they might normal keyboard mouse input?
Sure. So I think there are a few levels to that. So the first thing that you said, and one of the things that drives me nuts, is that mouse and keyboard, or I should say mouse emulation. When touch is treated exactly like a mouse, because at that point you're really not offering somebody any more than they would get with a mouse, right? So the second level is how you really start to take advantage of touch. And the things that we've done over in Surface really look at the direct manipulation aspects. So, if I'm in a Word document, can I just scroll up and down by touching it and moving it, right? If I'm in a photo application, can I flick my photos back and forth? Very similar to the iPhone. One of the great things that Surface has on it that I would say is something that's really nice to offer anybody is what we call scatter view, which is basically freeform photos or content that just sit around the screen and you can manipulate them in any way you want. You can move them around, you can do whatever you want with them. And that kind of freeform and direct manipulation is actually something that's really positive for touch. I think one of the last things to take advantage of touch, because it's such a new technology right now, is people get excited by it. And it's still this sort of very interesting, fun thing. So take advantage of it while you can and create fun applications. Even basic games. The thing that people get excited about a lot is Paint, which is interesting because, Microsoft's Paint or, the demos that we do on Surface for Paint are the most basic of technology, but people are super excited when they can just sit down and do this sort of, I can paint with my fingers, Like, you can't do that with a set of watercolor paints and a piece of paper next to you, but the fact that you can do it on the computer makes it really special. So, take advantage of this sort of novelty factor while it exists, because the more and more people who get adjusted to it and acclimated to it, that novelty factor is going to go away pretty quickly, and then people are going to start being a lot tougher on it.
Expecting more out of your application.
Yes, yeah.
So we're kind of like in the Pong days of multi-touch right now, and later on we'll have to have far better applications. I mean, in the Halo days and such.
Yeah. I certainly see systems where you could go either way, where you could build things for touch or you could build things for mouse and keyboard. I think the challenge will be how do you build them for both.
Blending together. Yeah. Now, you've got a session coming up for Mix 09 that you're going to be doing, talking about touch and gesture manipulation and stuff like that. What sort of things do you think the audience is going to be learning at that session?
Well, the positive thing is I haven't quite written that yet. So anybody who wants to comment on this talk here and tell me what they'd be interested in knowing, I can certainly try to work that in, but the basics of what I talk about in my past talks and a lot of what I'll include here are the things that we've been talking about now, the problems and the challenges that are faced by personal computing and adding touch into that. I'll be talking a lot about Surface and the technology behind that, and a lot of the stuff that we do on Surface that we're trying to do to really promote touch as sort of this next way of interacting with your computer. So the way we think about it is that in the early days you had command line interface, right? You just had a keyboard. When you had the mouse introduced, you had this way to move two-dimensionally, and you have this graphic user interface, you know, all based on metaphors of real-life things. You know, you have a mailbox icon on your computer, you have a trash can representing, you know, a trash can sitting next to your desk. And now there's what we call a NUI, which is natural user interface, which is all about direct manipulation and really eliminating that barrier between you and your content and eliminating the metaphors that exist there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it'd be a great session. And I think the challenge is now set on people to take touch and move it to the next level, move it beyond Pong,
yes,
and start really
yes.
integrating their applications that works really well.
Yeah, so right now we're working on the next version of Surface, and there is a lot of that, trying to figure out, okay, with the early version of Surface, we introduced just some of the basics of what you could do with touch and what you can do with our system. And, you know, with the next version, what can we really do to push our system and push touch and push what Surface is capable of? And the other thing that, just to add this in, for any of the technology people who will be attending the MIX session, we will be sort of showing off and talking about some of the newer technology stuff that we're going to be releasing soon with Surface. So I can't quite talk about it here yet, but at MIX we're going to release a little bit of those details about what's coming next.
Oh, great. So, that'll be exciting. I'll make sure I attend that session then.
Hopefully.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed that little insight into touch and gesture manipulation with applications and computers. And as you heard Joe say, he hasn't quite fully figured out exactly what he's going to be doing in his session at MIX. So if you've particularly got some ideas of what you want to have covered there, make sure you put some comments in the session, and Joe will take those into account when he prepares his session for MIX, which is coming up pretty quickly. So see you later.